This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek on the ball from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 4th, 2010, and it's our fourth episode. This one today is sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World, and good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Jennifer, and everybody listening from around the world. We appreciate you being here this morning. We have a fun show planned for today. But, Jamie, first, something we ended the show with yesterday I wanted to reiterate is it appears, we're keeping our fingers crossed, that you can listen to our show now on your iPhones or your Android phones, at least most Android phones, it appears, right now. So if I have put instructions as of last night on the website at horsesinthemorning.com. You'll see a little button there where you can press, and you can follow that link. And it gives you the instructions on how to set up your phone so you can listen live to us on your phone. The reason that's so cool is you can be cleaning the barn, you can be driving down the road, you can be taking the kids to school. Whatever you do in the morning that hinders you at work, you can just plug in your little earphones to your iPhone or your iPod, actually. And I think this will also work on your iPad. So you can do any of that, and you can listen to our shows live in the morning, and then give us a call when you just have the urge to call. So we're very excited about that. We want you to give it a try. Maybe some of you can call that are listening on your phones today and let us know if that's working. We'd really be glad to hear from you. So follow the instructions. They're very easy. I'm going to give them to you right here, right now, real quick. Is on your iPhone. You just open up the browser on your iPhone, whatever browser or your Android, whatever browser you use to get to the internet. You just type in horsesinthemorning.com/mobi, M-O-B-I, like mobile, M-O-B-I. So horsesinthemorning.mobi, that brings you to a page where if you scroll down a little bit, you're going to see our current show, episode 4, and there should be a play now button. You just hit the play now button, and you're going to be streaming our show live to your phone. How cool is that, guys?
That's very cool, Glenn. And you know what I do when I ride is, you know, as an eventer, sometimes I don't always wear riding pants. I mostly just ride in jeans and half chaps. And what I do, because I don't like having headphones on, is I unplug the headphones from my iPhone. I put it in my back pocket and put the volume all the way up. So I listen to music, listen to shows while I'm riding my horse. And it's a great way for me to kind of get caught up on everything, because when I'm done here, I start riding pretty much all day. So you can now do that with your iPhone and our show. Just put it in your back pocket and walk around the barn with it. That's so cool. I'm very excited about that.
Well, I'm very excited about it too. I think it's really neat. It's going to open up a whole new world for those people who are on the go, like most horse people are. And I got to give credit to my friend again, John the Geek. Give him a shout out here. He's the one that discovered that quite by accident the other day. So we're glad that we came across that. And we have a terrific show planned for today. Jennifer's going to tell us who's on the show here very shortly, but I have a surprise because we have a theme today that I am very excited about. And anybody who's listened, shut up, Jamie. Anybody that's listened to the shows in the past is going to know, or to Stable Scoop especially, is going to know I get kidded about something all the time by Helena. And it's because it's my favorite topic. And I have a little surprise for Jamie and for Jennifer, our producer. Because I haven't told them that I put this together. This will get you in the mood. It's about a minute long. It should get you in the mood for today's show. So here it is.
I'll start with a taco, soft like a cloud. I want mine crunchy. I like to eat loud. I'll choose a chalupa. I'll grab a mordita. Two taco salads for our senoritas. And a burrito supreme with extra sour cream. A taquito, a cinnamon twist, a chicken border bowl. Are you getting all this?
All right, so
and you know that nothing
chicken pizza.
We'll take two of those.
But please hold the diced tomatoes. And I admit I've always felt
I'm in love with a Mexi man.
Make mine with a little extra love and think of me.
As the cheese drops from your Taco Bell glove.
No, it took me a minute to figure out what it was. Was that guys singing their Taco Bell drive-thru order?
Yes. Have you seen Rhett and Link? It's R-H-E-T-T and Link. They do a bunch of these songs, and it was actually, it's a YouTube video. We'll put a link to it. Or actually, we'll put the YouTube video in our show notes today at horsesinthemorning.com. They actually drive up. He has the guitar in his hands in the seat, and they sing to McDonald's, to Taco Bell, and they put these songs together. That was only half the song that goes on and on and on. This guy, when you watch the end of the video, the guy at the Taco Bell actually rang it all up. And
oh,
it was
my gosh,
huge order. And they actually bought it. It was funny. It was very funny. They do a great job. That's Rhett and Link. But can you guess what today's show's about?
I'm gonna make a small wager, Glenn, that it's about food for you.
Yes, it is. Today's show's all about food and our favorite foods at horse shows, our favorite comfort foods. And the reason that we made today's show about food is one of our guests coming up. And Jennifer is going to tell us right now about what we have coming up and why today's show is all about food.
All about food. We're starting out today with our good friend Reese Kofler Stanfield, dressage rider and coach extraordinaire from here in Lexington. And she's going to be coming on a regular basis about once a month to talk about all things food as it relates to being a horse person, keeping you and your family well-fed during competition season, when it's hot and sweaty, when it's cold and rainy, what to take to the horse show with you, and including some really cool recipes, one of which we've got today. And we also have coming up today Horseball 101 with Julie Bourbeau and Marie Nadeau. Is that
Nadeau.
How I'm saying it right?
Yep. Julie Bourbeau and Marie Nadeau.
And They kind of rhyme, yeah, and they're going to talk all about the awesome sport of horseball. They are two really good players that we got to know really well over at WEG, and got to watch them play quite a bit. I didn't really get to, but they're awesome gals, and they're going to talk all about horseball and what a great sport it is. And then last but not least, we're going to take a little trip through the history books with the Horse Almanac with Fran Yerga, writer and author extraordinaire. And she's going to help us talk about what happened this week, this day in horse history, and we're going to have a lot of fun with that one. And I also want to let you know, both Chris and Michelle called in while you guys were introing the show, and Michelle said her BlackBerry is playing our show live. She's thrilled.
Her BlackBerry.
Good.
Her BlackBerry. She's feeding and listening at the same time. And Chris called in, and her iPhone is playing. She's heading out to walk the dog while she listens to the show.
Nice. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. We do appreciate it. And my friend Joanna is going to be so excited that BlackBerry is playing it, too, because she's been a little bit bummed that she didn't have an iPhone or Droid. She's like, I'm going to have to go out and get a new phone now.
Well, now I'm going to have to add BlackBerry to the instructions. I didn't even know that. That's a bonus.
Yeah, that's great. So thanks for calling in.
Yeah, that's terrific. Great. Well, thank you, guys. We appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed today's show. And as Jennifer said, we have a lot planned. But before we get to our first guest, I need to ask Jamie something, a little follow-up from yesterday. And also, we have two new affiliates that came on board since yesterday and that we're thrilled. Of course, affiliates are websites that carry our show. You put the little player on your homepage and people can listen to our show on your website. And that's available to anybody out there. I forgot to mention that yesterday. If you have a website anywhere in the world, you can carry our show, and it's very easy and simple to do. I just send you the instructions, so you can contact us through our website at horsesinthemorning.com. But the two affiliates are Twin L Performance Horses is now carrying our show, and also horsesinthesouth.com. And I wanted to mention that Horses in the South also carries all of our other shows, and she has been loyal to us since day one, so a shout-out to Horses in the South as well. So that's two new affiliates. I think that deserves a round of applause.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being a part of the Horse Radio Network family.
Yes.
So you had a question for me, Glenn?
Yeah, I do. Kind of relates to your bottom side. Is it any better today?
You know what? Yeah, I talked a little bit yesterday about the fact that dumb things you do around your horse. I had, my iPhone was on my shoulder. I was propping it on, like talking on the phone while haltering my horse. And my husband, by the way, I do have to clarify something. Yesterday he informed me that he did not run into the gate on accident. He was trying to push the gate open with our gator. And that's what spooked my horse. My horse ran into me, knocked me flat on my butt, and then on my back I was covered in, you know, stall. And the muscle's a little bit better, but it's definitely black and blue today. That's nice. Nice visual.
That's
Thanks
a
for
nice thought. I'll just have that in my mind all day. I can't believe you rode four horses yesterday after all of that.
I know. What are you going to do? How horse people do you know that ride with injuries? And this was just a minor one in comparison to, I mean, when I see Buck Davidson get on and do a show jumping course at Rolex after coming off a horse the day before and breaking his collarbone, it's just not that big a deal to have a bruised butt.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Good point. Well, today we
Buck Davidson
are getting,
can ride with a broken bone. Say what?
I'm glad you're getting better. Well, today we are giving away, we have another giveaway for a lucky caller. And today we are giving away, thanks to Karen over at Kentucky Performance Products. This is a cool one. And this would make a great gift for someone, too. It's a set of four etched bourbon glasses from Kentucky Performance Products. And Jamie, in the top of the show notes, I put a picture of them there. These are really cool. What do you call those kind of glasses?
Highball glasses.
Yeah, they're like highball glasses, right? We call them bourbon glasses, but they're etched with the Kentucky Performance Products, and they're cool running horse. So you can get a set of four of those mailed to you just by being a lucky caller today. Every caller that calls in will be entered, and we'll draw from a hat at the end of the day, and we'll put on Facebook who won. We've had some fun winners earlier in this week of some really cool stuff. Plus, everybody that calls in today will be qualified for
a $500 shopping spree from Equestrian Collections. I mean, talk about holiday shopping. I mean, $500 plus, you know, you don't have to buy it for other people. Buy it for yourself. You can also get your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600. So thanks to World Equestrian Brands for doing that. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and that's for anybody that calls in the month of November. We're just keeping a long list of everybody that calls, and we'll pick two winners out at the end of the month. The nice thing about that holiday shopping spree is we're going to announce this on December 1st, and you're going to have it available on December 1st to do your holiday shopping. I mean, that would definitely help me with my holiday shopping. I know that.
It sure will. So let me give everybody the number to call in. I know it's kind of confusing. It's hard to memorize. I don't even have it memorized yet. So write it down so you can call us at any time when we're talking about Glenn's favorite thing today, food. And you can call 347-637-3238. That's 347-637-3238. Be a part of the show and win a set of four etched bourbon glasses from Kentucky Performance Products.
And we apologize to everybody in advance who has not eaten breakfast yet. You might want to consider doing that because by the end of today, you're going to be really hungry. So, so grab a bagel, sit down, and enjoy the show. Bagel, a cup of coffee. You should be good to go today. And I see that Reese is on the line here. We're going to get to her in just one moment. One other announcement I wanted to make here real quick this morning was something really cool happened yesterday that we didn't have anything to do with, but we discovered it after the show. Jamie, remember after the show, we do our little wrap-up. We sit around and talk about how it went. We went to Facebook, and there was a whole conversation that had went on our Facebook page about the show and about people listening and everything. So we're going to announce that every morning. Go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Just do a search for Horses in the Morning, our fan page there. You can have a whole conversation going on. We encourage everybody to go over there and chat with each other during the show. We'll make that kind of our informal chat room right on our Facebook page.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, isn't that cool? So that happened all by itself yesterday. See, the coolest things in life are never planned, are they? Like meeting a super cool horse husband a little while ago on an airplane. Now, we told everybody that you met Chad and you got married to him, and he's an Air Force pilot, but we're going to sometime we'll tell everybody that you actually met him on an airplane, so the irony just goes on and on.
Yeah, Delta 20, row 25, seat B. I was in the middle, and he sat down in seat C. So the rest is history. Go
figure.
Well,
there you go. All right. All right, let's get – now, this segment coming up is going to be a regular once-a-month segment. We're calling it Cooking with Reese. Reese Koffler Stanfield is an international dressage rider based here in Lexington, Kentucky. She's a good friend of ours, and we found out a little while ago, loves to cook, which is quite unusual for horse women, and I say that because I'm a horse sized cook. So,
I cook every night.
She's coming on and giving us some great recipes here coming up, and we're going to start with one today, but first we're going to say hi to Reese.
Good morning. How are you, Jamie and Glenn?
We're good.
It's so good to have you here.
Well, we're glad to have you on, and we have never you've been on a couple of shows before, but we've never talked about cooking before.
I know we haven't. It came up at one of the horse tips I was doing. I happened to mention it, and you know, Glenn, I'm learning through our friendship. You know, you better be careful what you say at all times.
That's right.
Why?
you never know when you're going to be on the radio.
That's right.
Now, so, did you get in trouble for something, Reese?
Well, I'm here. I'm doing Cooking with Reese. I happen to mention that I like to cook, and Glenn said, really? Would you like to be cooking with on the morning show? And I said, sure, that would be great fun.
And here you are.
When did you start cooking? At what age did you start cooking?
Well, you know, I have to credit my mom, honestly. She was great. She always had my sister and I in the kitchen from the time we were little. So, you know, and my mom cooks every night, and, you know, we would enjoy. We would come in from the barn, and she'd be making dinner, and, of course, we would jump right on in and help her. So I really started with my mom. And dinner time in the Koffler household was an important time for us. We would come in and be cold and tired, and we would all sit down and kind of transition then into homework and that type of thing. So, and then I got married too, and my husband he likes to eat. So
it's
that was
amazing
how
that works.
I know, you just kind of learn how to cook when you get married if your husband is looking at you with hungry eyes.
Now, Reese, I have a question. How long have you been married?
We've been married 4 years.
Okay. Think back to your first year of marriage, because I'm in my first year of marriage, and I'm still kind of in the learning to cook and learning what not to cook and burning food stage of my relationship. Now, did your husband, was he very tolerant of you in your first year of cooking?
Well, he was, for sure, and he's still tolerant. There are times, and we have a rule in our household that if it's not good, it doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't want to cook it again. So just tell me, if you don't like it, I won't make it again. You know, of course, we never want to cook something our husbands don't like, so.
I know,
I
think I'm still in the, he's trying to be polite portion, and I'm like, no,
yeah.
If it's bad, tell me. But I did almost catch the kitchen on fire the other day, so I was just curious if your husband
Well, in our new farm apartment, there's something with the smoke alarm is too close to the oven, because I set the smoke alarm off now a lot, and it's not because I'm burning things. I'll open the oven, and on comes the smoke alarm, and oh, goodness. So
well,
it is entertaining. Comes men to the front door, opens the front door. Oh, it's becoming quite the thing.
Nice.
Now, Reese, you're an international dressage rider. We should give everybody a little bit about your background. I mean, you've been in dressage for pretty much forever, right?
Yes. I cannot jump a horse to save my life. So I started with dressage. I loved dressage from the beginning. I was 10 when I first started riding dressage. And at the time, you know, I'm not that old, but there were no junior programs and young rider programs when I started. So it was pretty unusual to see a 10-year-old out there riding. And so I've been lucky enough. When I was 16, they did have the young rider program. I did the young rider program for 4 years. And then I did my transition into being a senior rider. And I went to the University of Kentucky. I have an undergraduate degree in agriculture economics. And then I wasn't ready to be a grown-up, so I went to graduate school. And I have a graduate degree in international commerce and diplomacy. And I use the diplomacy every day.
You're not ready to be a grown-up yet, Reese. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, I know, but now that I have a mortgage on the farm, I kind of feel like a grown-up.
Tell everybody about your farm. You just moved into a new one, right?
We did. We just moved into a new 10-stall barn, and I magically have now 14 stalls. It's amazing how those shed barns go up fast. But this is it. We have 14 horses, and that is it. I can handle. This is it. And it's great. We're in Georgetown, Kentucky. We're 10 minutes from the Kentucky Horse Park. And so I can tell anybody, if anyone has questions about building a barn, unfortunately, I had to learn that. And there are always things you would change or do differently, but we had a great time and we had a great builder, and I wouldn't say I would do it again because it's a lot of work, but it's great to have my own facility, and everyone's enjoying themselves here, and we have a nice thing going, so it's very exciting. So I'm busy pretty much all day, every day riding, and it's great.
Hey, Reese. I noticed that you said we moved into a 10-stall barn, which is really a 14-stall barn. No, you moved into a house of some sort. You're a horse person.
We do. We have an apartment in the barn.
Isn't it funny how horse people don't move into a new house? They move into a new barn.
I know. Travis says I gave all my money, you know, all our money to the horses, and he's kind of right. we have an 800-square-foot apartment, and actually, it's great, and it's so nice. I feed the horses in my pajamas. Literally, I walk out and feed the horses and do night check in my pajamas, and it's wonderful. It's a lot of fun and new challenges. I think my husband thinks he's now gone crazy with me, poor guy.
Was he a horse person before you married him?
No, he is a software engineer. He and Glenn get along like two peas in a pod.
Yes, we do. He's a geek too.
He gets sucked in too.
All right, Reese, let's talk about food. Enough of this talk about barns and horses and stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff.
Well, you know, when you and I were talking, you know, I thought being a horsewoman and a professional of any business, you know, it is a challenge to get a hot meal on the table every evening. And for those of us that, you know, I find that really important for my husband and even for my sanity, it's always a challenge to come up with things. And what I found really with cooking and being organized is being organized. You know, it's not hard to make something. It's hard to think of something to make, go to the grocery store, bring it back, not forget a key ingredient. So that's really when I thought about coming on the show, that was what I really wanted to help people do, is have a few things ready to rock and roll. If you get home late and it's cold and you need to get something on the table, that's something that I don't think I've mastered, but I work on that all the time. Because if anyone's like, you know, I know all horse women, you know, we go to work, we, you know, typically go to the barn, and then you go home and it's, you know, 7 o'clock and everyone's hungry. So it's a challenge that way to find recipes and be organized.
Well, we're listening
so that's what
to,
I wanted to help you.
Well, we're actually speaking with Reese Coffler Stanfield on her segment we're calling Cooking with Reese. And you picked out a great recipe for us today. Why did you pick tortellini soup?
Well, it happened to be a very cold night when I was doing the recipe. It's starting to get quite cold here in Lexington and around the country. So I looked at this recipe, and again, it kind of really spoke to me in the sense of, okay, this is something that you could have in your freezer, in your pantry, and you could make it really quickly. There's different, we'll talk about some ways we can do some different things with it if you have some vegetarians, or my best friend's a vegetarian and we are not, so trying to find something for her has become a challenge for me. So
I'm glad you mentioned
that's why
that.
I picked this. Yes, I know. I want it to be for sure, you know, all those vegetarians out there, I want to help them as well. This tortellini soup, it's quick and easy, and that's one of the things I wanted to start with the recipe. I like complicated things, but I have to set aside a whole afternoon, which is very rare that I have a whole afternoon to set aside. So what I'll do, Glenn, if you want, I'll go through the ingredients, and then we'll go through how we want to make them. So you start with one tablespoon of butter or margarine, 4 cloves of garlic crushed, 3 14.5-ounce cans of chicken broth.
And or I like vegetable the broth for Jamie's benefit.
Exactly. When you want to talk about vegetarian, that's the change. Just use veggie stock. And I like the low calorie and low salt, because there can be a lot of salt in chicken stock. And then 1 12-ounce package of refrigerated fresh or frozen cheese-filled tortellini, and at our local Walmart in Georgetown, there's several different kinds. I like, for Travis and I, typically get the chicken one, but you can get the cheese or spinach or whatever strikes your fancy at the grocery store that day. And then you have 1 10-ounce package of frozen chopped spinach, thawed and well-drained. Well-drained being the key here, because spinach has a lot of water in it. So you really have to stick it in a paper towel. Well, I use like the Viva towels. They're a little stronger. And, you know, stick it in after it's had a few minutes to cool. I made that mistake once. Stuck it in before it was cold and I burnt my hands. And then you want to kind of wring all the water out. That's really important. And then after you have your spinach, you can have your 1 14.5-ounce can of stewed tomatoes, undrained, and 1 14.5-ounce can of red beans, rinsed and drained. The rinse and drain with the beans, that's important because they have a lot of salt and kind of, they're just like a thick kind of, you just want to drain them.
Yeah, I think you put that right there, Reese. That whatever's in there, you don't want it in your food. You just drain that out.
Yeah, you don't want it in your food.
That's
stuff
in the bottom
of me, and it's just not right. So drain it. And I have a little strainer. Travis can't believe all the kitchen gadgets that I have, but I also love kitchen gadgets. So I have a little strainer, and it's perfect. So just stick it under the water and, you know, let it go from there. So how do you make it? It's really pretty easy. You melt the butter in a large saucepan over medium-high heat. Then you add the garlic and sauté it, stirring occasionally for 1 to 2 minutes. Now, this is important. If you burn the garlic, which I have done, I have walked away at this point, several different recipes, do not use it. Start again. Because garlic.
Yeah, we've all done that, I think.
Yeah, it gets really bitter, and it makes the house smell really bad. And when you live in an 800-square-foot barn apartment, that is not what you want to do. So be very careful. So then you want to add your broth and your tortellini and bring it to a boil. Now, the big thing at this stage is you want to look at your package directions. Some tortellini is going to be different. If you use the frozen or if you use the fresh, you're going to have different timing. So, and you can even, this says fresh or frozen. You can even honestly have a package of tortellini that is dried. So that's where this recipe comes in. You can keep everything for this recipe in your pantry. And so on that night that you need something really fast, it's perfect. So once you add your broth and bring your tortellini to a boil, you reduce the heat and simmer for 10 minutes. Then you stir in your spinach, tomato and beans, and you simmer for 5 minutes, and you're ready to rock and roll. And so
wow,
it's really simple. Yeah, it's really simple, and that's why I picked it for our first recipe. And some things that you can add, to a recipe, I you love recipes, but then I love to add my own touch to them. And I've used fresh spinach. If I had some fresh spinach in my pantry, I mean in my fridge, I use that. You know, you can add different kinds of beans. They don't have to be red beans. Kind of whatever you have in your pantry is fine. But those beans, especially for the vegetarians, help with the protein. And then I also add some chicken. If I have some chicken left over, or sometimes I buy a rotisserie chicken, and I, you know, when I have time, I cut it up and use it in different recipes during the week. And you can throw some chicken in if you're not a vegetarian.
Great. So, you know what I like it because it is, it's actually very cheap to make. It's it's affordable, it's easy, and it has a very easy vegetarian option. I'm a vegetarian as well, so that's what I like about it, is you just can throw, you can throw the kitchen sink in this soup. Even crush up some tortilla chips on top and put it in there. So
yeah,
I think it's really good.
Exactly.
We're going to have this recipe up on our website, so everybody can go look at it, horsesinthemorning.com.
Yeah, and Reese, you're good. Jeez, the Food Network's going to be coming after her, and we're going to lose her.
Well, you know, that's like what I watch when I have time, is the Food Network. So, yeah, I told you, I really enjoy cooking. It makes me feel good. It makes my husband happy. And, you know, it's a challenge for me to do it, and I really enjoy it. And if anyone has any questions, let me know, or any suggestions or for recipes, you can check out our website, and it's maplecrestfarmky.com, and send me an email, and maybe we can use, I'll test the recipe for Travis, and he'll love it. He'll be so excited. And I still need, Glenn, you and Jennifer need to come over. Jamie, you too.
Well, we've been waiting for that invitation since you built the barn how many months ago?
I know, but we had this little thing called the World Equestrian Games. So
yeah,
I think everyone here, I'm excited to be back in routine and you know, having time to make dinner, because I have to be honest, there was a lot of picking up pizza and honey, can you get Chinese during the game?
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
Well, let me tell you, I am thrilled that you were able to come on with us today. It's been a lot of fun having you on for our first Cooking with Reese segment. You've made me hungry, is what you've done.
I'm sorry.
So, Reese, I have one more question for you, and then we'll let you go. What is your favorite? Our theme today is foods that you really like when you're at a horse show, or your favorite comfort food when coming home from a horse show. Is there a horse show that you go to that you go, oh, I have to have that every time I go? Or is there a favorite food when you come home from a horse show?
Well, I have to be honest. I really like, and Travis also loves when we go to the international competitions because they have the food tent. And I can never get him out of there. He's always like, last time we had this great food tent. And whenever I needed to find him, he was always in line with my dad at the food tent. So I'm trying to think. Honestly, when I'm at horse shows, you know, the donuts always seem to, like, call. But I've learned, do not eat the horse show donuts. It does not make you feel good. Do not do that. So I'm trying to think comfort food. I love, like, pasta, and, you know, unfortunately, I love the carbs of that. So I love, like, a nice pot of spaghetti or chili when I come home, or something just really, just really good. And in the summer, my favorite meal is a steak and ripe tomatoes and, like, a baked potato. That's kind of my favorite meal when I get home. And a big glass of red wine, hopefully to celebrate, so.
<Yeah.
laughs> Or not. It depends. So that's what I would say.
The red wine goes either way. You know, you can celebrate with it, or you can drink away your painful loss at the horse show.
And that is
vegetarian too.
Yeah,
exactly. That is my favorite fruit, for sure. And Travis knows to always have that on hand when we arrive. And it depends on if it's in a sippy cup, or if it's in our to-go cup, or, you know, when we sit down, depending on how the horse show went.
Reese might be my new best friend now. I might have to get a new best friend.
So we'll come on out for sure. And I hope everyone enjoys the recipe. And like I said, email me and we'll test some recipes if someone has something they want to get on the show.
All right, good. Thank you, Reese. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next month. Okay.
Great. Have a great week. Have a great month.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, Reese. That was fun.
That was great. She's awesome. What a lovely, lovely girl. So nice to talk to her. And I just want to mention our sponsor this half hour, Glenn, is Easy Signs Online. With the holidays approaching fast, it is time to start thinking about a unique gift this year for that special someone. I cannot believe we're doing holiday commercials already, but it's an affordable, durable, personalized sign as a gift that will be appreciated for many years to come. So visit our friends at EasySignOnline.com and browse their unique website to see many custom sign styles and options. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose a sign option and see all the pricing up front, from vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, to farm entrance signs. They have your sign needs covered. When a sign to suit everyone's budget, gift giving has never been so easy and fun. This week's special is 10% off all listed prices and free shipping. So plan your shopping now and take advantage of this special offer today. That's EasySignsOnline.com.
Well, that's great. We appreciate Easy Signs being part of the show. And now, when I was at the World Equestrian, let me start this next segment as the guests we're bringing up next by telling you something about what happened last year. We were doing the Stable Scoop Show, Helena and I came across a video of something called Horse Ball. And I just thought it was the wildest thing ever. And we'll put a video in our show notes today of Horse Ball, and we have some pictures too. And we had these two lovely ladies on from Canada. They're both French-Canadians up there, Julie Barbeau and Marie Nadeau. And they'll correct me if I said that wrong, and I apologize. But it was ironic, when I was at the World Equestrian Games, they had all these exhibitions going on. And in the newspaper one morning during the World Equestrian Games, here in the local Lexington paper, I saw this article about the exhibition for Horseball. And I went, oh, mm-hmm. We did a show on that. And I'll be darned if they didn't mention Julie and Marie's name in the newspaper. So next day I went trotting down there, and I found them. We had a great time. We chatted. I got to watch a game of Horseball. And then, much to my wife's surprise, poor Jennifer, I came home one night and I said, Jennifer, I invited the whole Horseball team over for dinner during the World Equestrian Games.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, that didn't. You know, that doesn't always go over so well. But she's so good at sports. She said, oh, that sounds like fun. I'm not cooking. So we ordered Chinese.
I'm listening.
We ordered a lot of Chinese, and we had them over, all 15 of them, and Julie and Marie were part of that. The reason I want to talk to them today is I am an advocate of Horseball. I absolutely love it. I got to watch two games, and got to announce for half a game, too. That was kind of fun. But we have them on the line now. This is Julie Barbeau and Marie Nadeau. Did I say those right, guys?
Perfect. Your French accent is perfect.
Yeah, right.
I have to apologize. Right. I have a big cold, so my voice is a bit rocky this morning.
And that's Marie, right?
No, that's Julie.
Oh, Julie, you have the cold.
Yeah. Well, the cold is almost gone, but this is just the afterwards. My voice is not too good.
So I'll be the one having the sexy voice today, then.
What's up, Demi Moore? Sounds good.
Let's introduce you separately.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Julie, how long have you been playing Horseball?
I started playing Horseball in 2004, actually, when it was just... I'm with some friends, including Marie. We introduced it in Quebec because it was already a big sport in Europe, and it's a friend of mine who saw it on the internet, and she said, "Listen, we gotta try that." And that's how we all started, and that was in 2004. Yep.
Okay, and then Marie, you've been playing for how long? You started same time?
Yeah, same thing. Well, Julie started like 2 months before me, and I was with a small child that was not even 1 year old. So anyways, I decided to go back on my horse. A borrowed horse, because I didn't have a horse at that time. And then Julie said, you got to come and this and that. So finally, started like in 2004 also.
Well, you guys, let's start by, you know how excited I am about horseback. You know how I am about horseback.
Yeah.
So I'm the biggest advocate here in the United States, and we're doing this morning, and I keep doing it, hoping that somebody will pick this up and run with it in the United States, because this sport is made for Americans. It has action. It has a little bit of violence. You guys are nuts. And yet it's safe for the horses. It has balls. It has nets. It has everything Americans like. So
and hot chicks also.
That's true. My wife is listening, so I couldn't say that. So tell us the history of horseball. How did it start?
Go ahead, Maggie.
Okay, so horseball was invented in France about 30, 35 years ago, and it comes from two sports that are very old, which is bouchkazi in Afghanistan, where they used to play with a dead goat. It's a sport where it was in the desert with those race horses, and they were fighting for a dead goat. And you also have the pato in Argentina. Pato means duck in Portuguese. So
Spanish.
They were playing Spanish, I'm sorry. They were playing with a dead duck in the beginning, and then it began like a leather pouch, and it ended up being pato. So horseball is a mix of pato and bouchkazi, and then wrote down some rules and started playing in France, and now they have over 8,000 players in France, and they have championships and world championships and European championships, which means that the sport is really healthy over there. And the good thing about it is that you can get young riders to play the game. You forget you're on your horse, you just concentrate on the ball, and you can have 12 person in the same arena playing all together, having fun. So it's really good for barns and stables that want to have young people playing all together, and becomes a team sport. And then you have a relation with your horse, relation with your teammates and everything. So that's great, because in riding, you don't see that often to play as teams. You know, it's an individual sport generally.
For those of us who have ridden in an arena with anybody else, you know how distracting it is to be in an arena and to have just one other horse in there, and it's like you almost wreck. Now, you're talking 12 horses in one arena.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And that's the great. It's amazing because time-wise and money-wise for a barn owner, it's great, because for 2 hours you have 12 people, they're all happy, and after the arena it's free for all the dressage people that want to ride on their own, you know? So anyway, well, our arena is 80 by 200, so it's not small, but we have rules. So like the right-hand side has priority on the circle and just like the rules, but at one point the horses know what to do, and riders know what to do, and we make sure that we all go in the same way whenever it gets cranky and very fast. And we have all those rules in horseball where the horse, the ball holder leads the way, and we can't approach horses that are with the rider picking up the ball. And we have lots of rules that make it safe in a way, and that allows us to be a lot in the arena.
That was my comment, actually, because when the French adapted pato and bouchkazi, one of their main concern was safety. So all the rules in horseball are made in a way that the horses are protected and it's always secure, and that the riders are protected and always secure. So which means that as soon as there is a situation where either the horse or the rider has been put in not danger, because it's not danger, or has been put in a situation that could have been dangerous, a penalty is called. So that's one of the main things. The other thing is, of course, you can be 12, 15 people in the same arena playing horseball, but it does not happen like that over one day. You know, it's not as if you can put 12 new horses together in the arena and start playing horseball. There's a whole process with the horses to get them used to the ball and to get them used to the other horses being very, very close to them. But surprisingly, although it's not made like that just by the click of the finger, it goes quite fast. And some horses actually never mind about the ball or proximity of the other horses. Some horses are a little bit more fussy, and sometimes it's the riders that are a little bit scared because, like you said, it's we're not used to that. We usually ride with one or two other horses in the arena, and mm-hmm. we're always concerned about the other riders. But in the horseball, it's something that comes really actually. We get used to it very fast.
Now, let me point out here, too, that horseball, I'd never seen it until this morning, until I looked online. And when I heard horseball, I was thinking, like, horse soccer or something. I don't know, like giant balls. But it's like, this is a combination of polo with all the horses running around, rugby because the riders are really aggressive, and basketball because there's nets at either end of the arena and they're passing like a basketball sized ball back and forth and back and forth trying to score on their opponent's goal. Am I kind of correct there?
You're correct. Yeah. The ball is actually a soccer ball. It's a regular, normal, soccer ball
number
that
four.
Anybody can buy in any sports store or whatever. It's a number four size because there are sizes in soccer ball. So it's a number four size. And the difference is that we have harnesses that go over the ball. And the harness has six handles. And the handles are actually used, the purpose of the handles are mainly for picking up the ball when it's on the ground. Because two of horseball main equipments that makes it different from another sport is the ball, well, the harness on the ball, and what we call the picking strap, which ties the stirrups together. So one stirrup is tied, the pickup strap goes under the belly, under the horse's belly, and goes and attaches itself to the other stirrup, which makes it gives the security to the rider when we bend over on the side of the horse. We use the pickup strap not to fall over, not to go
half balance.
Yeah. So
let's tell everybody, you guys are hanging out of the saddle. I mean, you're all the way off the side of the saddle, and we'll put some pictures of that in our show notes that we took when we were there with you guys.
Yep.
It's incredible. You're not, first of all, you're not steering the horse at that point. The horses are moving at that point. It's not like they're standing still, and you guys are hanging half off the horse, almost on the ground, picking up the ball. It's incredible.
Yeah, but the pickup strap makes it all. And then you get really used to it. And then after, when you do dressage for your horse and you don't wear that pickup strap, you're all mixed and your legs are moving.
Disoriented.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So you get used
to it
very fast.
Yes, we get used to it. And that's... Sorry, Mary, go.
Yeah, so we get used to it. But I was going to say that the nicest thing about horseball is that you never ride alone anymore. You just... I hang out with friends and call for a practice, and then you get to the barn, everybody's there, there's like a beer bottles in the snowbank, and then you ride and have fun, you know? It's no
You're
more like
sport,
going
Jamie.
Riding in the cold alone. You're just with a bunch of friends, so we ride more often in the winter because even though we freeze, we have fun and we bring a lunch and we chat. And the nicest thing about horseball is strategy. If you want to have a nice game, you have to practice, and we practice strategy. So we have a marker
pattern.
On a board,
yeah.
A marker on a board, and we like draw some strategies, and we practice them on the horse, on the ground. We run on the ground and make the passes before we ride our horse. Then we introduce the horse to the strategy, and in the end, our horses knows the strategy. So when I do this type of strategy, my horse knows, so he just runs super fast to the other horse and makes the pass and stuff, so they play with us. And when we catch the ball, the horse will just leave at full speed, and he knows where to go, and it's perfect. It's a great, great game for that.
But now we're talking about more advanced players. But what's great about horseball is that it can be played by kids that are 6 years old on little ponies. It can be played by teenagers, boys or girls, and it can be played by older riders that are just looking to do something else. It doesn't have to be fast. It doesn't have to be aggressive. It's just a way it's a different way to ride a horse. It's a different discipline than jumping or dressage or cross country eventing. It's just another discipline, and it's a sport that can be practiced by anybody at any age with any type of horse, and that's what makes it so special, actually.
A couple of things that really impressed me when I was there watching you guys. One of the things is you guys are such good friends. There were about 15 of you there, and you formed two teams, and you played against each other, and each day you mixed that up, and you're all good friends, obviously, and we had a great time having you over. But because that changes when the whistle blows. There is.
Oh, yeah.
And that's another –
that's another special thing about horseball, and it's like that also in the European countries. For having been there a few times on clinics and practices, off the field, off the pitch, everybody's friendly, everybody likes each other. It's a very festive crowd. But when the whistle blows on the pitch, it's your team, my team. And obviously it takes people that are a little bit competitive to play a game like that, because everybody wants to win. And I don't think we're violent. I think we might be aggressive, very concentrated and persuasive, but we're not violent, because then we'd have penalties and we'd be pitched off the game. But no, it's a very festive crowd that is attracted to a horseball usually. Yes.
Well, guys, it's been great having you on again. We appreciate you being here. Give your website out.
www.horseballinoneword.qc.ca.
And that's out of Canada, of course, and you guys from up in the Quebec area. And we are so looking forward to coming up and visiting you sometime. And Jennifer's looking forward to getting on and playing some horseball.
Well, you guys are welcome.
Yeah.
And we are available to give out clinics. We are available to help out. We are available if people want to come and try it here. We're very convivial. You can come and we'll find a place for you guys to live, and we'll rent you some horses, and we'll do some horseball and have fun.
Nice.
Well, great. Well, thanks again, guys. It was so nice to talk to you again. And Julie, you take care of your cold. And as I said, if anybody's interested in horseball and wants to get something started here in the United States, just contact us through our website at horsesinthemorning.com, and I'll put you in touch with our good friends up in Canada. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And, hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Hey,
Thanks. Coming
up in just a minute, right after the news, we're going to talk to Fran Yerga. She's going to do Fran Yerga's Horse Almanac, a little bit of a trip through the history books about horses with her. And we just want to let you know you can always call in and let us know what you think about horseball, what you think about Glenn's favorite subject, which is food, and call us at 347-637-3238.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. International Grand Prix show jumping rider Lauren Hoff has donated her former partner Aspirant to the Vince Ramos Therapeutic Riding Center. After suffering some health issues, the 10-year-old Holsteiner gelding, also known as Randy, was unable to hold up to the rigors of life as a show horse, and Lauren has always been a supporter of the work at the center and felt that Randy's gentle nature would make him perfect for a new career helping those with disabilities. While his manner outside of the ring is sometimes playful, he always knows how to be very careful with his riders. Lauren said, "I've always been a big fan of their program. I think they do a fantastic job there, and Randy has a super character, so it seemed like a perfect match. The International Equestrian Federation has launched a mobile phone application, which gives those involved in horse sport much faster and easier access to crucial information on prohibited substances. The Clean Sport app allows immediate access to the FEI Equine Prohibited Substances online database. The free app will initially be available for iPhone users. However, the FEI is investigating how the technology could be adapted for other smartphones, as well as enabling users to easily navigate the Equine Prohibited Substances database. The app also includes short definitions on each substance, as well as a selection of common trade names. There is also a feedback function for users who need further advice or clarification. And in the UK, there's a new app for veterinary services. The free Vet Emergency Telephone app has a database of more than 5,500 UK-based vets. It uses the GPS in your phone to locate your position before searching the database to find the nearest vet practice to you. A map shows your position and supplies directions to take your horse or dog to the clinic. Online veterinary medicine supplier Vet UK has launched the app and hopes to extend the service to list vets in France, Spain, and Italy. Distinguished British actor and enthusiastic horseman Jeremy Irons is supporting the 2010 awards organized by the International Equestrian Federation. The awards, which were launched last year, acknowledge outstanding achievement in five categories: Athlete of the Year, Rising Star, Development, Against All Odds, and Groom of the Year. Irons commented, "As a keen rider, I can think of nothing better than to celebrate those individuals who dedicate so much of their time, energy, and love to the sport. The FEI Awards are a unique chance for you to nominate and celebrate those individuals whose devotion deserves recognition. Those awards will be given out at the FEI General Assembly in Taipei this week." This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Beautiful feeling, horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
All right, and thanks so much for joining Horses in the Morning. You're listening to Jamie Jennings and Glenn the Geek. I want to give out our phone number just so you can be a part of the show as well. And remember, if you do call in and be a part of the show, you are registered to win, for today, a set of four etched bourbon glasses from Kentucky Performance Products, and your name is also in the drawing to win two monthly grand prizes, one a Vespucci bridle and also a $500 shopping spree. So definitely want to call 347-637-3238. And we have a special guest on the phone right now, Fran Yerga. How you doing?
Me? I wish that I could call you, though, because I want the shopping spree.
Wouldn't we all like to have $500 for equestrian collections? It would be great, huh?
That sounds wonderful. When do we get to find out who gets that?
I'm sorry, you don't qualify. I'm just kidding. at the end of the month.
I want to make very good friends with whoever wins that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you're going to do a segment for us, Fran Yerga's Horse Almanac, and you're going to do that for us, kind of take a trip through the history books. And what I'm really hoping is this time next year, when you're on our show, you're going to be talking about Zenyatta going 20-0 this time last year. So hopefully that's going to happen this weekend with her in the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, don't we all? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would.
I did. It's funny that you brought Zenyatta up. You know, I thought, how do I, address Zenyatta, because everybody's probably sick of hearing about Zenyatta. But I could talk about Zenyatta all day. And I did, want to talk a little bit, because the one thing that we can talk about, the whole idea of my almanac concept is sort of, what happened this week, or what happened today in history. And I've been compiling all these little sort of trivial facts, you know, to sort of let people understand how things are changing in the horse world by just sort of pinpointing things in history, and it does make you realize how things are changing. But Zenyatta kind of made me go back and
I think Fran, we
lost Fran.
She's there. I think we had an accident here on the switchboard, actually, and she'll be back here shortly. So she was just getting to the good part, too.
I know. Let's see. Fran, are you there?
Let's see if we can get Fran back.
I can hear you all. You can't hear me?
Oh, we can hear you now. Sorry about that.
Go ahead, Pete. You're compiling facts. Continue.
Right. I was hoping that you would allow me to talk about Zenyatta a little bit, because I wondered, you know, of all the things that people are saying about Zenyatta, she's already made Breeders' Cup history in that she's the first horse who's ever won two different Breeders' Cup races. There are several horses that have won two Breeders' Cup races, but it's always the same race. Like Tisnow won the Breeders' Cup Classic twice, and DeHaas won the Mile twice, and Miesque won twice, and Bayakoa won the Distaff twice. Zenyatta's already made history by being the first horse to win two different Breeders' Cup races twice, and so, you know, going into this race on Saturday, it's just so incredible that she could just smash all the record books. And I wondered how many people remember Personal Ensign back in 1988. She was a wonderful mare who retired undefeated. She had won 13 races, and she retired. She won the Breeders' Cup Fillies and Mares race, and she left undefeated, and I think that she was just such a great horse, and Zenyatta, of course, has, you know, blown way past Personal Ensign, but, you know, those are just some examples of, you know, just the incredible history that Zenyatta's already made. And
now, Fran, I wonder, and maybe you know this, has anybody else won three Breeders' Cup races?
No, not at all. That's,
wow.
Goldakova, you know, is up to do the same thing, but Goldakova is up to win the same race for the third time.
Gotcha. So what else is going on in today's history?
Well, you know, I thought this was a real challenge. I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, I really want to do this, you know. And then I thought, oh, November, oh, my gosh, what a terrible, you know, how am I going to do anything in November? Because, you know, it's sort of a, you know, really, you know, off time of the year. And then I thought about it, and I said, no, you know, historically it's wonderful because, you know, this time of year, first of all, we have the Breeders' Cup, but the Breeders' Cup has, you know, only been going since, you know, the 1980s. And then I thought about, you know, when I was a kid, this was the time of year that we went to New York City for the National Horse Show. And, of course, the National Horse Show has been going since the 1980s. I mean, the 1880s, sorry. And some of the history of the National Horse Show. And, of course, now that's going on, you know, it's sort of been revived a little bit this year, and it's been incorporated into the show at Syracuse. And I don't know how much you all know about the National Horse Show, but, you know, it was started in Madison Square Garden, and, you know, it was the social event, you know, of the fall season.
Right.
People, they came back from Newport, or they came back from the Hamptons, or their, you know, cruises to Europe for the summer, previewed the fall styles and, you know, the high fashion, and people had boxes in Madison Square Garden, and, you know, it was, you know, the social set, you know, the whole social register turned out, and it was just a really, really major major event. And even, you know, when I was a kid, that was the, you know, there wasn't always a Florida. The National Horse
Right.
Show. It was the last horse show of the year. It was the end of the year. So it was a really
And that's
big...
going on, friend, that's going on this week?
Yeah, but it's not the same as it was. I mean, now it's
right.
sort of, you know, what's left of it is preserved as part of the Syracuse International and the Sport Horse Invitational that's at Syracuse. And, you know, hopefully some of the aura of the National Horse Show will be preserved and maybe even, you know, make a big comeback. But, you know, I mean, they used to show the New York City fire horses and the police horses and everything. Mm-hmm. And
well, Fran, we certainly do appreciate you being a part of the show and bringing us, you know, a little piece of history. And again, we'll find out tomorrow exactly what is going on with Zenyatta and if you'll be talking about her this time next year.
I really hope so.
I do too.
Sure,
I do
that,
too.
We'll be talking about something about Zenyatta, and I hope it will just be that she blasted right into the all-time record books.
I
want to mention
too,
Jamie, on tomorrow's show we have a couple of special guests. It's going to be a Zenyatta day here on the show, and Donna Brothers is going to join us. She is the NBC reporter that's out there riding on the horse, interviewing the jockeys at the at Churchill Downs. She's going to join us and give her unique perspective on the Breeders' Cup as a whole and some of the other races too, but also talk a little bit about Zenyatta. And you're working on some guests as well. So we should have a great day tomorrow. Fran, give out your websites here quick, and then we have a bunch of callers we need to get to.
That's great. Well, you can follow me on equisearch.com on the Yerga Report blog and also the Hoof blog, which is www.hoofcare.blogspot.com.
All right. Thank
well,
you, Fran. That was
thanks,
Fran Yerga, and we'll have her back talking about horses in history, Fran Yerga's Horse Almanac.
Thanks, Fran.
Well, I think it's time, Jamie, that we get to our callers. We have a couple lined up here. If you want to call and talk about food or anything else, you want to say hi to us here, we'd be happy to hear from you. And I'm going to be getting to Susan. Hold on there 1 minute. Deb was ahead of Susan, so let's say hi to Deb. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you doing?
I'm great. And hi, Jamie. We haven't met, but I hope to sometime when you get back this way.
There's no place I love to travel more than Lexington, Kentucky, so I'm sure I'll be there, definitely will be there for Rolex this year.
Oh, good.
You Looking will be, because we're going to be recording from there. So.
Oh, good. won't be just a girls' trip this year, so that'll be fun. So, thanks for calling in. Now, do you have a favorite food that you like to see or have before or after a horse show?
Well, actually, I was going to tell you a story. It's definitely food-related. Before I moved to Lexington, I lived in upstate New York, and there were five of us gals who used to trail ride. And, you know, a lot of people trail ride, but also, you know, a lot of people tailgate. And we combined the best of both worlds. We would pack up our horses, you know, we'd get going at 5 in the morning, and we'd be planning to be gone for the day, and we would ride, you know, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 5 hours, but always at the end. We had a tailgate. I mean, we had chairs with our names on them. We had shrimp dishes. We had a spread like a tailgate party.
Nice.
And we would go, and we always had the rule that our horses had to be taken care of first. So we finished the ride. They got cleaned up, wiped down, watered, hayed, relaxed, whatever. Once they were all settled in, then the girls could sit down to the tailgate. And we would allow ourselves one adult beverage because we love our horses too much. But we
only
also
one?
Love the social time. An adult beverage.
One
adult beverage with our tailgate spread, and we would just sit and relax. And then sometimes we'd see people come in and trail ride, and then instantly they'd throw in their horses and go home. And we're like, they're missing the second part here. They haven't figured this out. Maybe we should teach a course in trail riding tailgating.
Tailgating.
I wanted to ask both of you,
maybe we could
if
do
I
a
can.
Cookbook.
I wanted to ask both of you, when Jennifer and I were talking about this morning, when we used to come back from horse shows, we used to go to Fair Hill. By the way, Fair Hill had the best bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches in the morning. We would have to get up at 2:30 and then get packed up and to head out to Fair Hill to go down to the one-day events down there. And they tasted so good to this horse husband after getting there and having all the kids in the car and all of that stuff. Just it was comfort food for me to have those egg sandwiches. But on the way home, we always stopped at Wendy's. Wendy's was the place we stopped. Part of the reason was we could fit the trailer in the parking lot. But we always were I want to ask you two this. We were always fast food. Get the food, go, eat it in the car so we don't keep the horses waiting in the trailer. I'm amazed at the number of people I hear from that actually stop for sit-down dinners and let the horses stand in the trailer. Did you ever do that on the way home?
No, I don't like to do that. I like to get them out of the trailer. You know, I mean, they can do it, but it's not the healthiest place for a horse.
No,
I may have been guilty of that once or twice when you're just starving. And as a vegetarian, there are not a lot of fast food options. So, like leaving your horse in the trailer at Denny's may have happened once or twice. And it's not abnormal to see that in Lexington, Kentucky at all. So I guess it depends on how hard they work that day, you know?
And it depends on circumstance.
Well, I think it depends, too, on how big a barn you have when you're getting home and if you have nobody helping. We never had any help, so we had to get home and take care of all the rest of the horses after the show, and you just wanted to go home, get that done, and collapse.
I have a rule. You don't unpack the trailer the night after a horse show. You just take care of your horse, drop everything, and go.
Well, Deb, we have more callers we need to get to here. Just give out your website quick.
Oh, the Equine Land Conservation, we're at www.elcr.org, helping to save
land. And we want to have you on.
For,
we'll have you on the show sometime, too. We'll get you back.
All right. Hey, there was good news in the election on Tuesday for land conservation votes. A lot of money put towards it, so that's a good thing.
Oh, good.
Fantastic.
Places for us to ride.
All right. Thanks, Deb.
Thanks, Deb.
All right, we have Susan on here as well. Let's say hi to Susan. How are you doing?
Hello, Glenn. I'm doing great, and I want to thank you for listening to my input about the iPhone, being able to get us drivers hooked up to your show.
Well, did it work for you?
Yeah, it actually worked this morning. I'm a Central Standard Time, so it comes on at 8 o'clock my time. And that's just kind of about when I'm coming into work, so I do like to have it on the iPhone. I think the show has been terrific. I see great improvement. I know that there's, some of the bugs that need to be worked out, but I think you're headed in a terrific direction. And I'm also interested in the prize.
Of course.
So, anyway, I hope to call in on another show when you maybe are talking about, horse behavior or horse health kind of things. Because I have an old gentleman that's doing really well right now, but I want to learn a lot more about how to deal with him as he gets older. And
maybe we can talk Glenn into doing a little bit of that on his Horse Tip Daily, because he does actual horse health care tips on Horse Tip Daily, and of course you can find that on the horseradionetwork.com.
Sure.
So that would be a great place. And I have a senior guy as well. He's about 25 out there in the backyard. So maybe we could do a little segment on taking care of a senior horse and how special they are, because that is definitely important, caring for them into their further on years.
Yes. Anyway, so thanks a lot. And so what do I do to enter the contest?
You're already entered. You called.
Okay. So you know it's...
But let me ask you, though. I have to ask you this. Which would you take if you had a choice, the $500 gift certificate or the Vespucci bridle?
Certificate. I got a pretty nice bridle. I have a pretty nice bridle right now, so...
All right. Well, that's of course, from Equestrian Collections. And the Vespucci bridle is from World Equestrian Brands. Thank you, Susan. Would you please call us again?
Thank you, Jamie. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Susan. Hey, so just to let you know, too, today's prize is pretty cool, too. It's a set of four etched bourbon glasses from Kentucky Performance Product. And what better to come out of Kentucky than bourbon glasses? So you can win that if you call in today, 347-637-637. 3238. And Glenn, I didn't tell you about my horse show food either.
Yes, no, but you're a vegetarian. That's a little tougher.
I know, but you know, there is one thing that I, after a long day of horse shows, there's one thing I don't allow myself to have on a normal day, and that is French fries, because I just feel, I mean, I love French fries, and I would eat them all the time, but I you know, you have to limit yourself on those guilty pleasures. So French fries, I get to have the day of a competition. After I'm finished and all done, I will find the biggest steak fries that I can and chow on those. And that is definitely my horse show guilty pleasure.
Oh, I couldn't live life without French fries. French fries is one of those staples in life. I could seriously eat French fries every day.
I know. That's the problem. You have a metabolism that's, you know, super speed, but some of us have to worry a little bit more about our, you know, girly figure and our riding weight.
Well, you know, I don't know about that, because my ball is getting my ball would argue with you that I have a good metabolism.
Glenn,
now.
You have got to clarify that a little bit better, my friend.
I sit on a exercise ball when I record the shows. All the shows I do on the Horse Radio Network, I sit on an exercise ball because I find it keeps me perkier and more lively, and you can't slump on an exercise ball because you fall off. So
yes.
I'll clarify that. And we do have more callers call again that we want to get to. But, Jamie, I wanted to mention for this half hour that we really would like to talk about something, and that's Amazon. You know, people ask us how they can help out the Horse Radio Network because they like our programming. And I know these sound like a PBS commercial, an NPR commercial on the radio, but it really is true. People do like our programming from all over the world. We now have over 55,000 listeners to all the different shows in 42 different countries. Well, if you're here in the United States or Canada and you want to help us out, and we appreciate that, one of the things you can do is support our sponsors. Go to our sponsors and buy their products, obviously, is a big help. But the other way you can help more directly is if you're buying something at Christmas this year or for the holidays, go to our website first and click on the Amazon link on the left side of the page. If you're buying anything from Amazon, you just go to our webpage at horsesinthemorning.com, click on the link on the left side of the page for Amazon. It takes you to Amazon. You go buy what you want. It doesn't cost you any more. It's just a click there, and they actually give us a little bit of a kickback because you're a listener of the Horse Radio Network. So by being a listener, you can help support us just by clicking on the Amazon link before you go. It doesn't add anything to your cost. It doesn't cost you any more. You can still take advantage of all Amazon's great products and prices, and we just get a little bit of a feedback from that. So that's how you can directly help the Horse Radio Network and keep me paying Jamie every single week. She, for some reason, she doesn't want to get up at 4 every morning and not get paid. I don't get that.
You know,
as dedicated as she is.
That's the problem with being over here on the West Coast, Glenn, is that it is a little bit earlier for me, but that's okay. You know, who gets to talk about horses every morning for a living? So I feel very, very blessed to be able to do it. And let's see, we've got Aubrey on the phone. Aubrey's calling from North Carolina, and she's calling about the food at Rolex, which if you haven't been to Rolex, of course, we're talking about the 3-day event in Lexington, Kentucky, third week in April. It is amazing. And the tents that they set up, it's like a tent city going on. Every store, every vendor is there at Rolex. And they also have like an entire food wing at Rolex, which I'm sure Glenn loves. So, Aubrey, how are you doing?
Well, good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
I was telling her, I was talking about the salad place at Rolex. I love that place.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. The one is like, okay, so you go and you stand in line and you pick every ingredient that you want, and
uh-huh,
they whip it up.
Uh-huh, everything that's there pretty much. They mix it all together and dump a bunch of dressing on it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's one of the only healthy things to eat at Rolex.
I told her I'm not convinced it's terribly healthy, but we can pretend it is because it's green.
Now, do you go to Rolex every year, Aubrey?
I have. Let's see. I went when I was younger. I went 4 or 5 years, and then we just started going back. We've gone the past 2 years.
Were you an event?
Nope.
I am. Yeah, I've got a off the track thoroughbred that I bought up at Penn National from her trainer, and we're doing a prelim right now.
Oh, cool!
Fantastic. So, what is that so area three?
You know, we mostly do unrecognized stuff. So I'm in North Carolina, so she came from Pennsylvania, but I actually have absolutely no idea what area we are.
Oh.
So we're doing our first our first unrecognized long format in a couple weeks. So we're really excited about down in South Carolina.
Congratulations. I guess you have Southern Pines pretty close to event and go
we
run
do,
around.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I love
we
that
do.
Place.
We the place that this long format's at is a place called it's Southern Eights Farm in Chesterfield, South Carolina. And he's the guy that runs it is really, really super neat, and he's doing it for mostly the adult amateur riders who don't have a ton of money and want to get out. And we just did a Becky Holder clinic there a couple weeks ago and had a blast. And it's just a really cool farm.
I mean, I've never heard of a – maybe this is just an East Coast thing or a North and South Carolina thing. I've never heard of an unrecognized long format prelim event.
It's
I mean,
the first
I guess.
One.
Wow, that's really
it's actually,
cool.
They're running beginner, novice, and training is what they're doing there, and it's the first one ever. So,
let's clarify for the non-eventers what that means.
Well,
that
this
means
one is a little modified, but it's got the roads and tracks and steeplechase in addition. To the cross country.
So yeah, you've got your dressage, you've got your show jump, you've got your cross country phase, and then you've got your show jumping, and that encompasses an event. Now a horse trial, but a 3-day event, a true long format 3-day event, also has roads and tracks, which is just miles of trotting, and then a steeplechase course, which is galloping over brush fences. Another roads and tracks phase. 10-minute box, and then you're out on course. So that is a very long day, and it is amazingly difficult to prepare a horse for that. And they're starting to do it now for all the way down to training level, and that is my goal, is to do a long-format training level event one day.
We're excited about it. Hopefully I got the horse a little rare and fit at the moment. So,
so
she is a thoroughbred,
so
she's more than happy.
One more question for you before we let you go.
Yeah.
What is the entry fee on an unrecognized long-format training-level event?
Well, this one, they were trying to keep it down pretty good, and I think the training was $275. It was like $225, $250, and $275, and that was stabling included. So they did a really good job of keeping it affordable.
Stabling included is where you get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yep.
Well, good luck, and definitely call us back and let us know how the whole thing went.
Well, thank you, and thanks for putting me on the air.
Well, thanks,
well,
Aubrey,
thank
and thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. Thank you so much.
Well, that was great of Aubrey to call in.
I love it. I love that. That's usually, Glenn, if you're going to enter, and I know that the dressage riders and the hunter jumper riders spend a whole lot more, but for events, it used to be, $100 weekend, but now with stabling and the entry fees, you cannot leave a horse trial spending less than $500. And so that's a great option for $225.
I remember back when I first met Jennifer, 25 years ago now, and she was eventing, and we did eventing for years and years and years with the kids at the barn and her. You were right. It was $100, and that was hard to come up with back then. I can't imagine coming up with $500 a weekend and continuing to do that throughout the season.
Yeah, I often wonder, why don't I have a savings account? It's like you look at it, you're like, wait, okay, I made money this year. I swear I made money this year. Oh, the road to the American Eventing Championships. Yeah, the 8 horse trials I did this year to qualify for the AECs. Did you realize? Yeah, that's where my money went. Okay, that's why I don't have. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have a savings account.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure
Jennifer, we didn't hear from you. What's your favorite horse show food is, and what's your comfort food?
Oh, mine's seasonal. In the cold weather months, my absolute favorite food at the end of the day is Glenn's homemade chili.
Aww.
Well,
yeah.
Nice to hear.
Yeah, and in the summertime months, my absolute favorite end-of-the-day food is a quart of ice cream.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
A whole quart of ice cream.
Chocolate chip mint.
Wow. A whole quart. Well, that's something perfect right there.
I have to say that I also agree with her about the chili. I think that at the end of a cold day, I really do like chili. And I do make a good vegetarian chili, too, Jamie, I'll have you know.
Really?
He does?
Yeah,
he
I do.
Veggie chili.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, but I like either one of them. I just like the chili and a little bit of hot. Now, you live in Arizona where, you know, things are there's a lot of Mexican food and a lot of hot food. They use a lot of chili peppers out there. Do you like hot food?
I cook a lot is a lot of Thai food because I love curry. My husband loves curry, so my house smells like curry most of the time because I make it a couple times a week. But you know what you do here in Arizona because it is so hot? I love soup because I think a soup and salad is like the greatest meal ever. So what I made a lot this summer, being that it was 117 degrees, the last thing you want is hot chili or hot soup. I made gazpacho a lot.
Ooh.
And, man, that is good. You can make a whole pot of it, put it in the fridge, and at any time just grab a bowl of it. It makes it pretty easy, you know, in between rides or whatever you're doing throughout the day. So that's what I do throughout the summer.
You're the gazpacho queen.
Yes, I am. But that's a very vegetarian friendly food, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
And it sounds
this
cool.
This has been fun talking about my favorite topic in the whole world, food. But I'm really hungry now. So we're going to have to wrap it up because I'm going to go get some lunch and you're going to get some breakfast. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. We have a couple of them coming out today, the dressage and jumping show and eventing shows all come out on Thursdays and Fridays, all the shows that Chris Stafford does, who also provides the news here for Horses in the Morning. So those shows will be coming out today, and I'm sure she has some fantastic guests, and I'll try and get some more information about that tomorrow. Also, I'm recording a little bit later today that'll come out tomorrow, the Stable Scoop Radio Show. And we have a special show planned for this week. It's and I'm not going to give it too much away, but the Native Americans in this country are now being put to work by a group. We're given jobs, actually, helped out by a group who is taking them and asking them to do the unique art, because they're a lot of them are tremendous artists. And they're taking the art that they create about horses, and they're bringing it to the market for the general public. And it really is providing a lot of jobs for those on the reservations. And we're going to be talking about that today, and hopefully we're going to be getting one or two of the artists on as well. So it's a really cool cause that we're very excited to promote. And we're going to be talking about that, and it'll be live tomorrow on the Stable Scoop Show. So I just think that's just really cool. And you can find all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. That's where you can see who won today's prize. We had a number of callers. We're going to pick out of the hat, and we're going to announce today's prize winner of the 4 etched bourbon glasses from Kentucky Performance Products. And we thank Karen and the gang over at Kentucky Performance Products for providing those beautiful glasses. We'll get those shipped out to you for the holidays just in time for the Thanksgiving table. And we are on Twitter at Horse Radio. We put all our updates there, and you can keep track of everything that's going on the Horse Radio Network on Twitter, and our handle is Horse Radio.
Of course, if you guys miss a live show, listen to the recorded version on our website or any affiliate website. You can download them all on iTunes. You don't have to miss anything. And we're going to be back tomorrow at 9 Eastern, and I am so excited. We've got a lot of stuff I'm working on a lot of stuff right now. Glenn handled his part of the business, but I'm still...
Yeah, can't get with it here, Jamie.
I know. I'm sorry. You know, we're trying to get some pretty exciting guests for tomorrow for kind of our dedication to Zenyatta Day. I know one of the callers said people are probably sick of Zenyatta. I am not. I am so excited about this weekend and the Breeders' Cup race. Zenyatta going 20-0, hopefully. So we're going to talk to NBC Sports anchor Donna Brothers. She's the one after the Kentucky Derby that's riding around on the horses and interviewing the jockeys seconds after they win. So very exciting there. We're going to have some other stuff coming up. We're going to talk to the Chronicle. So we really appreciate you guys listening today, and please listen tomorrow. Call us back. Let us know what you think about Zenyatta, and we will let you know if you win. So thanks so much for listening today. Goodbye, everybody, and say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Glenn.